Beautiful. Good evening. Today is March 25th, 2024, and we are studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter, the steps, are the stories, the preface, and the forewords. Tonight, Natalie V is our speaker. Thank you, Natalie V. Take it away, baby.
Hi, thank you. I'm Natalie, a recovered compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here, grateful to be able to say that. I never thought I would be able to say that I was recovered. I have about 105 days, and that is a literal miracle. I was never, towards the end, I wasn't able to get like 2 days. So definitely God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. I'm super grateful for OA, that there's a place for me to go and that there's a solution for my problem and this disease of compulsive overeating, because I really do believe that it's a disease. I believe for me that I was born with it. It's in my genetics. I have this thing. Other people in my family have this thing. And I was looking at the forward to the first edition on XIII, and I just really love the first paragraph. It says, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book." And like, I remember in a way, when I would hear people say like they were recovered, I was like, isn't that kind of cocky that you're saying like you're recovered? But they use that language in the big book. So it makes sense that we say it as well once we've worked the steps out of the big book and had a spiritual awakening. I can say that I'm recovered, and it doesn't feel weird to say it because I really do feel the difference. So anyways, I'll go into what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. Like I said, I definitely feel like I was born with this thing. I remember eating, overeating, craving food, craving more since I was little. I just remember like it was never enough. I remember in middle school, like I always wanted to have more on Pizza Fridays. Like I really looked forward to that day, and like I knew that I was like chubby, I was really insecure, and I just always had like the self-obsession, definitely as a kid, and like the obsession with like what I looked like. I was just like very, very self-aware. I went on my first diet when I was in seventh or eighth grade. I went on the Special K diet, and I ate a bowl of cereal for breakfast and lunch, and then I can't remember what it was for dinner. And I lost a little bit of weight. But the first time I really lost weight was freshman year of high school, and I went on a diet. I lost a good amount of weight. I stopped wearing glasses because I had always worn glasses, and I just started getting all of these compliments and all of this attention and attention from boys for the first time. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, I love this. And so, of course, as an addict, I like want to take it to the extreme. So then I just start not eating at all. And I used to just like go 14 days, 2 or 3 weeks without eating anything. I would only drink like Diet Coke and Crystal Light, and I kept just trying to lose as much weight as I could. And then it started that whole binge restriction cycle. I think the first time I ever binged, I was probably like 15 or 16, and it was be I binged because my body was so hungry from not eating and from starving myself that it was like literally just like a natural body reaction to, not eating for so long. And I remember like eating. It was like nighttime, like the first time I remember binging, and like it was nighttime, and I just kept eating bowls and bowls and bowls of this sugary cereal, and then just other foods too, and I was so full and so uncomfortable, but like I couldn't stop, and yeah, I definitely used drugs and alcohol to help, not eat and to suppress my appetite, cigarettes, coffee, pretty diet pills, anything to help, lose weight. Yeah, and that kind of just was how my life was for the next few years until I was 20, I think 23 or 20, I think I was like 22 or 23. And when I was 22 or 23, I got sober in AA. So I put down drugs and alcohol, and like I picked up the food hardcore. Like the weight just like piled on because food was kind of my only solution I had left. It was always there in the beginning, and then I kind of I didn't need it as much, but I definitely still like binged and used it when I was drinking and using. But when I got sober, like the weight just came on, and I just remember the binges were just so bad, and I would still try to like diet, but like I could never like get the weight off. Like I just kept gaining weight, and it was miserable. I just remember like the hopelessness that I would feel like after a binge was just so like demoralizing. You wake up, then I just remember waking up the next morning and just being like, oh, like I felt so gross, and I just was like, I don't want to do that again. And I would like, I just remember I used to like clean my room and like do all the laundry and like clean the whole house and like take out the garbage and take a shower. And I'd be like, okay, like I'm not gonna, like it's a new day. Like let's not do that again. And then like I would feel good for a few hours or for a few days or whatever. And then I would be back like on my way to the drive-through or on my way to the gas station to get all my binge foods. And I first came into OA, I had tried a bunch of other things before I Googled like overeating or can't stop binging. But I Googled it and I found OA, and I went to a meeting in 2016, and I mean, I definitely knew I belonged there, but when I heard that people like just did not eat sugar and did not eat ice cream, I was like, what? This is like so extreme. And I tried to do what they were doing, just like kind of like a diet with group support, but I didn't work the steps out of the big book. I tried like different workbooks and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just don't think I was ready to put the food down. Like I had to really get miserable. Like the food convinced me more than anything else, that like I'm never gonna not have this problem, and that I'm always gonna have it. And yeah, so from 2016 until this last year, I had tried like everything else because I just did not want to have to like put the food down. Like I was just like, seriously, like I don't drink, I don't smoke, like I don't do any of this other stuff that people my age do, and now you're telling me that like I can't eat a freaking donut? Like no, this is ridiculous. So anyways, I tried for a really, really, really long time to be able to like keep a lot of the foods that I don't eat anymore. I tried to do intuitive eating. I read different books. I went to a couple of different eating disorder therapists. I've done an outpatient eating disorder program. I've literally tried everything else, and like OA is the only thing that works. So I finally came to that conclusion and I was like, okay, like I'm done. And I could relate so much to other speakers that I heard. Like I would listen to like a Vision for You special editions. I would listen to different OA speakers, and it always gave me so much hope, even when I was eating. Like I always knew like there was hope in OA. And I finally just came to the conclusion that like this is the only thing that was going to work for me. And I became willing to put down all of my alcoholic foods. Like I finally became willing to put everything down that I knew set me up, had that set up the physical craving for me. And I finally was. Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing. Like, I was just finally ready to put the food down. I was like, I was talking to another fellow in the beginning who was like, he got to a point where he was like, I will literally eat like leather. Like, I don't care. Like, just tell me what to do. I just want to get better. And that's just the kind of the point that I got to. And I'm very thankful for that willingness that I had because, yeah. Without that willingness and without putting all of the foods down, I wouldn't have been able to work the steps like clearly and been able to actually have a spiritual experience. So anyways, I finally put everything down and I found a sponsor who was willing to work the steps with me quickly, out of the big book. And that's what I did. We worked really fast. God like provide. I have a 1 and a 2 year old, and I basically am a solo parent most of the time. And God just provided like time, which I never have, to myself. God provided time for me to do the steps, and we worked like every morning. I think I got them done in 3 weeks. And we just went really quickly and I had a spiritual experience. I made my amends. And yeah, I got recovered and now I'm able to help other people. Like all of this time that could have been wasted, like now I can use all of the binges and all of the years of like dieting and obsession, like that can help somebody else now, which is really cool. Yeah, and something that, today helps me is like continuing to take inventory. I think that's probably the biggest thing besides like keeping my food down, like not picking up my alcoholic foods, is like when I get that buildup of human emotion, when I get that, resentments or fears that come up, like if I let them fester and I don't like do anything about it, then like I'll start noticing food because, like, I have food neutrality most of the time. But if I let just like fears, resentments just kind of sit, and I don't do a 10 step on them, then like I start noticing food around me. Like, I start noticing my kids' goldfish or like their animal crackers. Whereas, like, usually that stuff is just kind of invisible to me now. And I'm like, okay, crap. Like, I need to do some work around this. So yeah, that's been the biggest thing for me, is really just being diligent and working my program because, it's definitely easy, as the book says, to let up and to rest on our laurels. It's very easy to do that. It takes a lot of effort and action. It's a program of action. I have to always remember that. So yeah, I think that just being able to continue to take the inventory and reach out my hand and help others is what kind of saves me today. And I just know that like I'm never gonna not have this thing. Like I'm always gonna be a compulsive overeater, whether I'm like in the food or not. And like I also believe what people say of like my disease is doing push-ups in the parking lot. Like I believe like if I were to pick up the food, like I would be right back, if not worse than how it was 100 days ago. And 100 days ago, like one of my last binges or compulsive eating was like in the morning at 10 a.m. and my toddler was in the kitchen with me and I was just like eating sugary food at 10 a.m. in the morning out of a plastic bag standing in the kitchen. And my toddler was just looking at me, and I looked at him, and like, I was just like, I can't freaking do this anymore. Because when I'm in the food, I'm just so useless. Like, as a human being, as a mom, like, I'm so just selfish. Like, it's all about me. It's all about the food. It's all about like what, where, when can I get more food? Like, it's a whole nother life. Like, it's a real addiction. Like, this was the hardest addiction to kick. Like, I am an addict in every way. I've been addicted to like everything that you can be addicted to. And food was the hardest. It was like the last one to go. Like, I have been able to kick a lot of other things easier than this one, but this one, it's like it takes like rigorous action, and the thoughts creep in so like insidiously and so innocently, and like thankfully I don't have a lot of food thoughts, but like just they can. Like, I remember I was having like a hard night this past weekend. I was just having a hard time with the kids, and I was stressed out, and like I went, it was nighttime, and I was like putting my baby's milk bottle back in the fridge, and I like saw some food, and I was like, this is a time where like I would be in the food, like face down, like just eating all my feelings. Like, I can't deal with this. This is too much. Like, I need relief. Like, but thankfully I have a program today that gives me that relief without like killing myself with food. And like, also, like, I'll say that something that I like to think about is, if I were to be in the food, and not recover, like, I know what my future looks like, because this stuff runs in my family, like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, like that stuff is definitely waiting for me out there. Like, I know, like, if I ever get back into the food, like, I will be that person who is like sick because of my eating. Like, it will take me early. So yeah, anyways, I don't have a lot else to say, besides, the program works. The answers are in the book. They will always be in the book. And I'm thankful that somebody took the time to work the steps with me quickly. I think that's just like, I can't say that enough, how I don't think I would have been able to get recovered if somebody hadn't worked it with me quickly, because like the food is just so like, I don't know. I just am so thankful that I worked the steps quickly and that I was willing to put down all of my alcoholic foods. So thank you for listening. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Natalie, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. It was a beautiful share. Thank you. We will now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and the step being studied this week. We ask you to accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under Reactions or *9 if you're on the phone. I will call the raised hands in order, and the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. With a timekeeper, please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when the time is up. If the speaker's asked a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. Okay, so I see one hand up already. Anita, come on in.
All right, thank you. Natalie, thank you so much for sharing your story. We have a lot of similarities. Definitely, in high school is where my eating problems began, only eating once a day, which, I can't even think about that now. So thank you for being so honest. Yeah, I don't know. I'm in my mid 40s, and thankfully I found this program now. I'm very thankful. And just trying to get my head out of the food. Yeah, I really like how you shared how you just came to, this was enough, or I've had enough. I guess I didn't see that until I got some recovery, how much my head was in the food. Yeah, and just how much clear thoughts are coming through. But now that, my thoughts aren't on the food, other thoughts are coming in, and so that's why the rest of the steps are important, the rest of the program. Yeah, I think that's it. Just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing your strength and hope and experience. And that, you got better, and so I definitely can too. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anita. Who else would like to speak?
Well, I'll go. I was going to wait
Okay.
since I'm working, but I'm Lacey. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I was so pleasantly surprised to see that it was my sweet friend Natalie who was our speaker. And Natalie took so many calls for me on fire. We commiserated about toddlers, and I'm just so grateful for I mean, your story parallels mine in a lot of ways, being in another program, and just that I was speaking with another fellow today about just the craziness of how that was really for me. Not only did the credits not transfer, it worked like against me because I thought I knew what 12-step recovery was all about. And it just doesn't have, I can't even explain it. It's just really being able to just do a blank slate with your mind about something that you've been in for years was such a challenge for me. And I love what you said about the food convinced me. You know, like it says in the big book, the alcohol was the great persuader. And that was true for me too. I also was not ready, not ready, not ready. Even when I got into the big book with sponsors, so the material was there, I wasn't ready. I also went into my first few OA meetings, and they were talking about, not eating, complete abstinence with certain foods. And I thought that was the most asinine thing I'd ever heard in my life. I was like, you cannot be serious. I mean, and now I think about it. When I think about that, the thing that comes to me is how free do you want to be? You know, and with everything that I have my grip on, how free do you want to be? I love that our language is often the same. Around things, in here, and I need to hear it over and over and over. And I just cannot tell you how much I love you and how grateful I am for you.
I love you too.
Thanks, Lacey. Lisa, come on in.
Hey, family. My name is Lisa, and I am a compulsive overeater. Natalie, it is awesome that you got the two programs so early on. I was a single mom when I first went into Alcoholics Anonymous, and it took me over 30 years to get this program. I didn't come into this program till 2021 in October. And if I make it 3 more days, I'll have 1 year of abstinence. And to think that I could go a year without my binge foods, my alcoholic foods, I would have said, I haven't picked them up. I haven't done this this program perfectly, but I have not picked up my binge foods. And I love what you read in the big book, the foreword to the first edition. It says to show other compulsive overeaters precisely how we have recovered. And it tells us what we recovered from. It doesn't say we're cured. It says we have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And that's crucial, you know. And if you go on and read the other forewords, I love history. And the first four forewords, they show the history and the growth of this wonderful fellowship that we come from, from Alcoholics Anonymous. And to me, history is important. If you don't know where you came from, you're going to make the same mistakes over and over again. And so I have to also remember that in my daily program, is to remember the mistakes I made and not do them again and fall back into old patterns and behaviors. And I do that by just continuing to come into the program. I like, what Lisa's thinking. I abstain from leaving OA. I will not leave OA, no matter what. As long as I keep coming and I keep putting one foot in front of the other. I had an awareness today. I can't see the time, but normally, I'm traveling today. I normally live in Panama and I'm traveling here, getting all loose ends to move down to Panama. And if you've ever been in Charlotte, it's crazy driving around here. And I haven't been driving for almost 6, 7 months. And driving was stressful for me, and I just realized driving was one of the times I needed my binge foods. Driving in this crazy rat race out there, and I was calm, and I'm driving around on the freeways and the craziness out there, and I'm not getting upset, and I'm not having to pick up my foods. And that's the miracle of this program. So if y'all are just new or coming in, please keep coming back. The miracle will happen, and it does take. You need to put the work in. It's not going to happen by osmosis. And I'm really grateful that somebody took the time and took me through the steps in Overeaters Anonymous. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa. Amy, come on in.
Hi everyone, I'm Amy in California, compulsive eater, grateful to live in recovery one day at a time. And thank you so much, Natalie. I really appreciated you and I related to so much you shared. I came in, I think, for the third time to program when I had a toddler. And I had that same experience. So I had come in when I was younger and left and come back and left and but I had that same experience watching my little girl watch me binge. And you know, when you have those moments where you kind of, your whole life goes swoosh. And I remember watching my mom binge. And I remember her dieting and hating her legs and how cranky she'd get on the diet and how she would, it's funny, it didn't show on her body, but she carried incredible body shame. And that's been a big, always a part of my disease. I also, as you had shared, had that binge restrict. I became anorexic when I was a teen. And that way of living, like that just scared me that that's what I would be passing on to my child. And so, somebody else just shared about the road trips and the like, what a relief to not have to be eating continuously on road trips and not having that shame. Like, there was always so much shame, like, oh my God. And, it's funny, you're ready when you're ready, because I've had different versions of abstinence over the years. I've worked the steps. I think recently was my fifth time. But you get it when you get it, and how free do you want to be? And if somebody had told me today, there's so many things I don't eat. I don't even eat today fruit. So somebody would tell me, no way in hell, no way. But the freedom I have today, and the joy I have rediscovered in working with my fellows and sponsoring and sharing 10 steps, like there's nothing like that. So thank you so much. And thank you everyone for being here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Amy. Okay, we got plenty of time. Who else would like to come in? Yvonne.
Thanks, everybody. I'm Yvonne, a compulsive overeater from BC, Canada. Natalie, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. It's always a great reminder to hear somebody else's story and hear the parallels. We had different paths in many ways, but the same, you know, like that's the crazy thing about this program is that really no matter where we're starting from or where we've come from, we all have the same, you know, issues around the food and what, even if it's restricting or overeating or whatever that is, it's just that our minds are full of food continuously. And the relief that recovery brings. You know, your share just reminded me that when I came in, I had no idea that, you know, even that food neutrality was a thing, that it could be achieved through recovery, that I wasn't going to be white knuckling it. I think that's part of the, you know, huge fear that I had when I came in. It's like, oh my gosh, the thought of giving up my binge foods for a lifetime. And it's like, oh, people say, oh, it's one day at a time. Yeah, you can't trick me that. Like, I'm not dumb. It's one day at a time over and over and over again. I don't think I want to do that. And so it is this miracle that gets delivered. It's not white knuckling it. Like, I don't think about those foods anymore. They're not my foods. I cook in my home. I make desserts at, you know, holidays for my family. And I can do that. I just know they're not my foods. And so the food being out of the picture is a huge relief. But now, so I am about 2 years in OA now. And so the work that I'm doing focuses primarily on that emotional sobriety component. And that's a lifetime journey. And I'm just at the very beginning of that. But now the miracles come around that, right? I can get in my vehicle. I can drive to the grocery store without honking at somebody, giving somebody the finger, screaming and yelling inside my car. I would go out with my husband in the car from time to time and forget that I'm a complete nut. And he would like look at me and go, "What are you doing?" And it was just like, I just would lose it. So all that resentment, all that illness and pent up anger and stuff that I never showed all came out in these crazy ways. And now I get to see, you know, the tools that I had before were the best tools I have. Now I have been gifted and blessed with different tools. And that's another miracle of this program. It's like, I don't have to be that person every day anymore. I get to choose when I wake up and connect with my higher power to be a different kind of person. So thanks for sharing your story, and I pass.
Thanks, Yvonne. I'll go ahead and jump in. Hi, my name is Sally. I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Oh, to be so young like you. I was 23 when I walked into the rooms, and it was all about just putting the food down. That was it. You know, I'm getting skinny. And 40 plus years later, you know, that's not what it's about anymore. It's emotional sobriety. I can be thin. I can be thin, and I can be crazy. And I'm reminded. I'm thankful for my emotional binges. I don't have food binges anymore, but I have emotional binges. I'm very thankful for those because it's a barometer. Like the food used to be a barometer. Okay, you know, the food's calling. What's going on, Sal? My emotional binges are a barometer. And I'm so glad that I have a method to examine what's going on with me. And lots of times I need help. I need someone to show me my part. For years, when I got in the program, that's all we had was the big book. And I might have heard exactly what I'm hearing today, but I didn't hear it. You know, and now every time I take someone through the book, I hear it. And my last step study was 7 months because we dug And I could not have done that unless I had had, quite a few years of absence underneath me. But I stopped being emotionally free. The food wasn't an issue, but I was a dry drunk. So I'm just so thankful for these steps. I'm thankful that I've exhausted every other food plan, read every book, out of ideas. God, please help me. And it took every slip, every sloppy meal, all of it, to be in enough pain to say, okay, God, help me go a little deeper. What's going on here? And I really appreciate it. So that's all I got. Let's see, what time do we have? Oh, well, we're going to go ahead and stop the recording for unrecorded share.